Recently, I was at a diner in Deep River, Connecticut, having breakfast and comparing notes with an old friend about whether we had been visited by a ghost in the middle of the night. So the night before, we had stayed in this hotel called the Griswold Inn, which is this old tavern meeting house from the 1700s that is supposedly haunted. And my friend was saying over her coffee and pancakes that she had definitely felt a presence in the hallway. And I was saying that something might have tapped on my foot in the middle of the night. I don't know. And honestly, the vibes were definitely right for a ghost. The Griswold was right on the water at a spot where the Connecticut River meets the Long Island Sound. So we had walked down to the dock and tried to look out onto the horizon, but it was so foggy that we couldn't see anything. It was like as soon as you stepped off the dock, it was just a misty, gray, foggy expanse going off to infinity. Super eerie. So anyway, back at breakfast. I'm having my little smoked salmon, scrambled eggs, toast, whatever. And this older gentleman in a plaid shirt is going around pouring everybody coffee. His name is Ralph. So he starts telling us about himself and about the town. And then he tells us this legend. And as it turns out, there was another, much better ghost story in town. I'm Amanda McGowan, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we're visiting Deep River, Connecticut, where the story of a botched bank robbery more than 100 years ago has taken on a life of its own as an urban legend in the community. So today we are venturing away from shore to a point where the horizon line between fact and fiction disappears. We're going to visit the grave of XYZ after this.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
It's a cold December night in 1899, and inside of a drafty stone bank building, the Deep River Savings Bank, a man named Harry Tyler is sitting in silence with a shotgun across his lap. Harry Tyler is this local guy. He's been rebuilding his houseboat just around the corner, but to make some extra cash, he's been hired as a night watchman by this bank. And thanks to the town's booming ivory piano key business, a little bit random, this vault in this bank is stuffed with more than $1 million. So Harry has a big job to do. So Harry is sitting in silence and just listening for any little sound that's out of the ordinary. He's hearing the floorboards creaking a little bit as they're settling, maybe a little bit of scratching of an insect rustling around the vault. But then it's just around 1 o'clock in the morning, and Harry hears something very out of the ordinary, a very human kind of scratching. It's the sound of nails and tools and somebody trying to get into the bank. So Harry slowly and carefully gets up from the chair holding the shotgun. He crosses the floor. The moon is just a sliver in the sky. It's barely throwing any light at all through the bank's giant windows. And Harry is looking through these windows as the light is coming in, and he sees four men in single file trying to break into the bank. The man in the very front closest to the window has a bushy black mustache and a revolver in his hand. So Harry lifts the giant Winchester shotgun to his shoulder and... when the dust clears, a man is dead. It's not Harry. Harry has shot the robber through the eye, and he's lying in a pool of blood outside of the bank. There's no trace of any of his three accomplices who have all hightailed it out of town. So this man's body is taken to a local undertaker, and the public is even invited in for viewings to see if anyone can recognize him, if anybody wants to come forward and claim this would-be robber as their own. But the thing is, no one does come forward to claim this man as their own, and no one can figure out who he is. In the Hartford Courant, which is a big newspaper nearby, they described him like this in an 1899 news story. The man shot is of medium height and build, wore dark clothes and a dark derby hat. He had a mustache and was apparently about 35 years old. He was a stranger in town. Meanwhile, as the stranger is lying in state at the undertaker's, Harry Tyler is becoming a little bit of a celebrity. The story of him guarding the bank is making the rounds in some local newspapers, and people start writing him letters congratulating him. And then he gets one very odd letter written in what looked to be a woman's handwriting, but unsigned and with a smudged postmark. And all this letter says is, "When you bury this man, give him a gravestone with just three letters, X, Y, Z." Amazingly enough, people in town said, "Okay, we will do exactly that." A local cemetery called Fountain Hill donated a plot of land, and Harry Tyler himself made a small wooden marker carved with the letters X, Y, Z. This is where the story begins to drift from fact into legend. So 1 year goes by. The anniversary of the robbery comes up, December 13th, 1900. And arriving by train at the Deep River station is a woman dressed from head to toe in black. No one knows who she is, and apparently nobody asks either. But she's carrying flowers, and she goes to the Fountain Hill Cemetery and puts them on XYZ's grave. Then she takes the next train out of town, doesn't even stay the night, and leaves as mysteriously as she arrives. And not only that, but then she returns every year, year after year, December 13th, 1901, December 13th, 1902. Every single year she does the same thing. She arrives by the train, she dresses in black, she goes to the grave, she lays flowers. Her last visit is supposedly in 1947, almost 50 years later. Today, there really is a grave of XYZ at the Fountain Hill Cemetery in Deep River, and people still leave roses and coins and other little trinkets on top of the headstone. In fact, local kids go one step further and say that if you go to the grave and say XYZ three times fast, he will come back and haunt you as a ghost. Ooh. So over the years, XYZ has become arguably the most famous resident of Deep River, Connecticut, and parts of his tale seem very true. The bank robbery, Harry Tyler, that's all legit. The old Deep River Savings Bank even hung up Harry's gun for many years. Other parts of the story, certainly a little more far-fetched. For example, some sources claim that the robber actually was identified in the years following the break-in, But the Deep River Historical Society concludes that all of that is, well, inconclusive. As for the woman in black, it does seem a little fishy that no one ever thought to speak to her or ask her name or what she was doing there. And sort of suspiciously, many of the newspaper reports mentioning her going to the grave happened long after the fact. To be honest, to me, this part of the story sounds a little bit like that old country song, The Long Black Veil.
Now she walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail.
The song is about a man who is accused of murder, and he is innocent, but he can't share his alibi because at the time of the crime, he was sleeping with his best friend's wife. But after he is hanged, the wife still visits his grave in secret, wearing a long black veil. But that's just a theory. And who am I to say? I'll tell you one part of the story that I will definitely not be trying to debunk, and that would be sitting at the grave saying XYZ three times fast. I've had enough ghostly experiences in this part of Connecticut. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Dylan Thuris,
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney,
Johanna Mayer.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
Our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall. And if you'd like to learn more about anything you heard on today's show, check out our website at atlasobscura.com. There is a link in our episode description. And I'm Amanda McGowan, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.